Life is kind of funny when you think about it. It's almost like God created us as a people that are filled with a bunch of holes in our life. Holes in our life that are begging to be filled. And these holes that are in our life must be filled with the right things so that life goes well for us. If the holes aren't filled with just the right things, then life becomes a struggle. And really, when you get down to it and you think about the holes in all of our lives and what is going into these holes from a very young age, the more those holes are filled with good things, the better our life becomes. The better life we have as we mature on into adulthood. Some of these holes that I'm speaking about in our life are the following. Love. I think that's the biggest hole in our life that is begging to be filled. The hole of love. Also, kindness. Education. Education is a big hole in our life that's begging to be filled. Also, the hole of family. There's a desire and a need for us to be included and to be a part of a family. And of course, probably the biggest hole of all in our life that is begging to be filled is the one that is in the center of our life, and that is God. The hole of God in our life. Maybe you could even come up with some other ideas of important holes that must be filled in your life. Certainly there's more than just the few that I quickly ran off there. But as I said, if any of these holes in our life don't get filled properly, then we struggle in that part of our life. You can even just, the four or five that I gave you there, if you think about those holes in your life or those needs in your life, if they're not filled, you struggle in that way. Even especially the one about God. Think about the people that claim there is no God. They have no relationship with God in their life. They consider themselves atheists. They struggle in their life with that. And they don't even know and understand that part of their life that they struggle in. So keep that in mind as we continue to go through the rest of the sermon today. But I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk about the very special day tomorrow, Mother's Day. Tomorrow is Mother's Day. And when you stop and consider your life, I think you'll agree that there's nothing more special in your life than Mom. Moms fill so many holes in our life. And that is their God-given ability. God gave mothers the ability to fill holes, to fill those needs in their children's lives. It's a very important role that mothers fill in each of their children's lives. Mothers are a very special creation of God. He gave them certain traits that are designed to help us build our foundation in life from a very early age and to start filling these important holes that are in each and every one of us. The title for my sermon today is Mothers Designed to Fulfill Us. Mothers, and you can put a comma after mothers. Mothers Designed to Fulfill Us. Today I would like to look at a few of the special traits that make up our mothers. God has given each of us a very special blessing in our moms. The first trait that I want to look at in regards to mothers today is mothers naturally sacrifice for their family. Mothers naturally sacrifice for her family. She always and naturally puts herself last when it comes to her children. So many mothers down through time have fed and clothed their children and family first when there wasn't enough to go around for everybody. If you happen to know anybody that grew up in the Depression era, I know I used to. My father-in-law He grew up in West Virginia. Very, very tough environment that he grew up in the hills of West Virginia. I remember he used to tell me stories that as a kid, that he would lay, they lived in like a log cabin. And as a kid, he would look up at the roof and you could see the stars through the slats in the roof. And in the wintertime, snowflakes would come down through the slats in that roof. And they heated the home with a buck stove, an old metal buck stove, and they loaded it up with wood at night when they went to bed and hoped that it stayed warm and lit until morning time. My wife might have to correct me on this. Didn't he have 9 brothers and sisters or 9 kids total? 13, she corrected me, 13. I thought 9 was a lot. 13 kids. 13 kids in that family in a log-type cabin home, and the father was blind. Tough, very tough way to go. And he grew up during the Depression, and he went through the tough times, and he knows how difficult it is for a mother to take care of the father and the kids and everybody else in the family, especially when the father's blind. He even told me, I don't know if he remembered it, but he certainly had the stories that how when he was first born, I think they lived in Arizona, and they actually took the old wagon wheel over to move over into West Virginia. So, tough times. But when you have tough times like that, often the mother does put the rest of the family first before her own needs. If you would turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Verse 15. Proverbs 31, verse 15. When we read this chapter in Proverbs 31, we often think about how this is the model for a perfect wife. But actually, it's the model for a perfect mother. The role of what the mother does within the family. Let's look at verse 31. And we'll see that the teachings that come out of Proverbs 31 actually come from a mother. Proverbs 31, verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. So these words are the things that his mother taught him from an early age. Going on down to verse 15, it says, speaking of a mother, says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidservants. So the mother gets up early in the morning to take care of her family, to provide for her family, to get the kids off to school. Many of our mothers do that on a regular basis and don't give another thought to it. A mother is usually the first one up in the household and usually the last one to go to bed. A mother's sacrifice begins before the child is even born, and then it continues on throughout their entire life. Let's consider the different stages and how our mother is there for us. As a newborn, our mother spent night after night rising in the middle of the night from her sound sleep to nurse and to change the diaper of each and every one of us. As small children, we began to explore life and get into mischief. Our moms were there to give guidance and to nurse our wounds and to give us a little pat on the rear end when we needed it. To give us that guidance and to let us know, hey, you need to head in this direction, not in that direction. When our teen years, through the teen years, our mothers again lose sleep, worrying about us as the world works nonstop to pull her children away from her and her family values. A lot goes on in the mom's mind during those teen years because they see that pull that the world has on their young child, pulling her away from the family values that she's worked diligently on for year after year when her child was young. As adults, just because we're grown and on our own doesn't mean that our mother quits sacrificing for her children. Our mothers stand ready at any given moment to help you, to help me, to be there for us, to sacrifice for us, to give us what we need in times of trouble in our life. Our mothers never retire from being a mother. Mothers are truly defined, I think, by the word sacrifice. Mothers sacrifice everything for their children, and they do it day in and day out without giving it a second thought. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15, verse 13. John chapter 15, verse 13. I think Jesus Christ here perfectly describes a mother's love for her children. Jesus Christ said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." There's kind of a double meaning here from Jesus Christ, because he's talking about what he knew he was preparing to do, was to lay down his life for those that he called his friends, which is you and I, and really the entire world. Jesus Christ considers the entire world his friends, but that's also what a mother does every day of her life for her family. She lays down her life. I think if you ask every mother if they would be willing to actually physically give their life if needed for their child, very few would say they would hold back or have second thoughts. They would say, "Absolutely, I would give my life for my child." A mother gives of herself daily without a thought of the cost to herself. On a website called Circle of Moms, they ask the question, "What sacrifices have you made for your child?" And there was a whole bunch of responses to this question on this website. One lady said, "I sacrificed everything, and I mean everything." She didn't go into detail, but she said, just simply made the comment that she sacrificed everything in her life for her children. But there was one post that was put in on this website that I felt really told the whole story about a mom in regards to her sacrifice for her children. And it's from a lady by the name of Jamie. I don't think it was Mrs. Snyder, but I could be wrong. But it's from a lady named Jamie. She says, "I don't feel I have made sacrifices." I think that's true as well. Most women, most mothers would say they don't feel like they've actually made sacrifices. It's just a natural thing that flows from them. "I don't feel I've made sacrifices. I would look at it as being a mother and making the right choices for me and for my children. If I have given up something or lost a friend or two after becoming a mother, it was for my child's safety and or well-being. I do what is best for my children. That's not a sacrifice. It's being a parent." Very well said. The second trait that I would like to look at this afternoon that's a part of our mothers is our mothers are our teachers. Our mothers are our teachers. As we looked at, Proverbs 31 described the traits of a virtuous woman. But as I said, if you look closely at it, it actually is describing a mother. You might have read or heard of a book called All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. How many have heard of that book before or possibly read it? Yep. It was written by a man named Robert Fulghum. But I think the author's focus on the title of his book is incorrect. I think the book should have been titled, All I Really Need to Know I Learned from My Mom. Because she's really the teacher of us. It's not school. Sure, school teaches us things. But the real life lessons, things that we take with us into adulthood, are given to us by our mother. She teaches you right and wrong from a very early age. She teaches you to respect others, beginning with her and beginning with your father. Learning respect is one of the most important things that our children can learn today. Our mother taught us manners, taught us morals and proper ethics, taught us the family values and hopefully even taught us God's values of what's important in life. Our mother taught us how to make friends, to be social, to be accepting of other people, to be nice, to be kind, and how to get along, even when things are tough. How often I've seen, I didn't really obviously recognize it when I was a young boy, but how many times I've seen kids fighting, you know, over a toy or something, and moms quickly step in and say, no, just let him have it, let her have it, share your toys. The mother's always there showing their child how to get along with others, to be giving. Our mothers taught us how to be responsible by cleaning up after ourselves, not go around making a wreck and see the trail wherever you go throughout the house, as children will do. As I kind of mentioned already, she teaches us about God. And actually, she sets a perfect example of some of the traits of God by her giving and her loving and her kindness and her mercy. And sometimes her discipline, because God also offers discipline, just as a mother does at times. Mothers teach us an endless amount of basic foundational knowledge of how to live our lives successfully. When a mother teaches a child how to live its life, she doesn't do so thinking, well, I just need to punish him, I need to just be hard on him or her and give him a hard time. Her focus is always for that child's well-being. It's the same as it is with God. God works with us. He teaches us. He guides us and directs us along in our life. Sometimes there's admonition that we receive from God. Sometimes there's correction that we receive from God. But all of it is from the focus of helping us to be successful in our life now. Successful in our life now, and even the ultimate success of being born into God's kingdom. All of that instruction is from that purpose from God, and even from our mothers. Jesus Christ spoke to Moses and to the children of Israel and told us how we are to view our parents. How we are to view our parents. The Israelites, and us as well, are taught throughout the scriptures that we're to be a holy people before God. That we're to be a holy people. That is telling us that there is certain conduct that we're to have in our life. When God looks at you and looks at me and He says, you're to be a holy people to me, He's telling us that we need to be living our life in a certain way. That's the admonition that we receive from God. A mother does the same thing with her children. When a child does something wrong, she's quickly there saying, you are not to do that. You've broken the rules within our family. Broken the values within our family. That's the mother's job. And she's quick to point that out to her children. But we're told by God that we are to be a holy people. And that describes that there's certain conduct that we're to have as God's holy people. Turn with me, if you would, to Leviticus 19, verse 1. Leviticus 19, beginning in verse 1, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You see, that's a direct statement to God's people, the Israelites, saying, you are to be a holy people. Well, what does that mean? Well, God goes on and tells them in the succeeding verses, all, really through the whole rest of that chapter, He lays out conditions to keep them in what He describes as being a holy people. But notice the first on the list, verse 3. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. He puts the children, which we all are, depending upon our, it doesn't really matter what our age is, We're all children to our parents, and it's our job to revere our parents. Why is that so important? Why did God place that as number one in the list of being His holy people? Because He knows that if you don't revere and respect and honor your parents, you'll never be able to figure out how to do it to Him. That's how important it is. That's why God made it a part of His commandments. You've got to learn on the physical level to honor and respect your parents before you can have any hope of showing honor and respect to God Himself. And that's each and every calling of every person on this earth. The calling is to learn to show honor and respect to the Almighty. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Turn there if you would. It's so neat that when God planned His Bible that He included so much instruction for our children. God's just not interested in adults. He's interested in all of us from a very early age, and there's plenty of instruction in His Word for young people and adults. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." In other words, do not forget what your mother has taught you. Remember it all of your days. Let it dwell in your mind. Remember it and think it over and over again, what your mother has taught you. God knew and understood that mothers would have a special trait given to them to teach their children, to train them up into the way that is right. And God even inspired verse 9, continuing, it says, "For they will be graceful ornaments on your head." Young people, how's being respectful to your mom and dad and not forgetting their rules and their laws and their teachings, how is that going to be a graceful ornament upon your head? Well, you know. Just think about what the opposite would be for you. If you didn't respect your parents and you did just the opposite of everything that they instructed you to in your life would be miserable. You would be unhappy. And you would not even know how to socially get along with other people. If you can't get along and show honor and respect to your parents, you're going to struggle in all of the relationships of your entire life. Because those are the first relationships that you have in life. That relationship between your mother and your father. Reading the whole verse 9 says, "For they will be graceful ornaments upon your head and chains about your neck." So you can just kind of picture what that person looks like, walking proudly and with a proper sense of pride and confidence in their life. Because they have that good working relationship with their mother and their father, and they haven't forgotten the teachings of their mother. The third trait that I would like to discuss today that God has given mothers is there's nothing sweeter than a mother's love. There's nothing sweeter than a mother's love. A mother gives and gives everything she can for her children. Her whole focus in life is how she can do better towards her children, how she can fill her children's needs. Sometimes I even find myself as a father kind of pulling my wife back, saying, let him figure that out on his own a little bit. Let him provide for himself. But a mother doesn't even give it a second thought. Her focus is, oh, I see he needs this or she needs this. And she goes to fulfill that need of her child. That giving comes from a love that only a mother and God can understand. God understands that desire to help and to nourish and to take care of your child. He understands that completely. It's a part of who He is. And He shared that trait of him with our mothers. I want to share with you some quotes about a mother's love. The first is from Abraham Lincoln. "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." I thought that's pretty cool. Pretty cool insight about Abraham Lincoln and his relationship with his mother. He said he could remember the prayers of his mother, and they clung to him throughout his entire life. It's a beautiful thing. The next one is from George Washington. He said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education that I received from her." Quite a statement. George Washington said, "I am who I am because of my mother." The next one is from Mark Twain. "My mother had a slender, small body, but a large heart. A heart so large that everybody's joys found welcome in it." I like the way he phrases that. He said, "A heart so large that everybody's joys found welcome in it. And a hospitable accommodation." A hospitable accommodation. Meaning people just felt at home around his mother. That any joy they had as they shared it with his mother, there was just a union of joy there. That's how Mark Twain described his mother. The next one is from Glen Campbell. You remember Glen Campbell? I know I'm dating myself, but that's okay. Glen Campbell says, "There ought to be a hall of fame for mamas. Creation's most unique and precious pearl. And heaven help us always to remember that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." Actually, he made a song with that title in it as well. You can find it on YouTube. Very nice song. "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." If you look into the meaning of what he was intending by that, is he understood, and many understand as well, that a mother is there guiding, forming, and fashioning that child from a very early age to who they're going to be as an adult. My personal opinion is that a father can't come to understand the depth of the love that a mother has for her children. I really believe that. I don't believe that my love, and I love all four of our children, I don't believe that my love is to the same depth as my wife's love for our children. And I say that simply because I, or any man, hasn't given birth to them. I think when you give birth to that child, it takes your love instantly to a deeper level than what it would have been otherwise. Plus, the mother is with them every moment of their life, through all of their adolescent life, in most circumstances. She's there guiding and directing them, answering their questions, feeling their hurts, understanding their fears, helping them combat their fears, giving them confidence, helping them through their life. Father's there usually in the mornings, and he heads off to work, and he comes home late at night. It's not a criticism on the father, it's just a reality that the mothers play a special role in all of our lives. God tells us that our love has to be from the very depths of our heart. A mother's love for her children is from the depths of her heart, and it's shown by her actions, by what she does for her kids. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. I'll actually read verses 18 and 19. Again, it's 1 John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other." A parent could do that. They could say that to their son or daughter. I love you. We could say that to each other. Oh, yes, I love my brethren. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. That's what a mother does every day of her life. She shows the truth of her love for her children by her actions and the fact that she cares for them every day. Verse 19, our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Our love for one another, our love for each other, has to be done to the depth of our heart in full sincerity, just as it is between a mother and her child. Mothers aren't perfect. In fact, they make as many mistakes as any of us. But their God-given traits are very unique, very special, and they're designed by God for you and me. Designed by God for you and me. A mother's love for her children is shown by the selfless love that she gives them every day of their life. And it truly is a selfless love. Not thinking of herself, but thinking about the betterment of her children. When God designed our mothers, He chose to share a part of who He is with our mothers. He looked at His own traits and He said, I'm going to put this in her. I'm going to put this in her. I'm going to put this in her. God created the woman, the mother, with special traits that He possesses. Once He designed our mother that way, it helps that mother fill all of those holes that are in our life that I talked about at the beginning of the sermon. Those traits are given by God to mothers to help us be full in our life so that we can be successful. This Mother's Day, thank your mother for all that she is. All that she is. Think about it. Go to God in prayer before Mother's Day and think about it. Think about what your mother has been to you. Think about what your wife has been to your children. One time I was talking to somebody and it was Mother's Day, and I asked this man what he was going to do for Mother's Day for his wife and their kids and so forth. And he said, well, she's not my mother. And I thought, how cold, how callous, how unappreciative is that statement? It really troubled me after I had that conversation with him. But he said, well, she's not my mother. See, he didn't even appreciate the value of his wife towards their children. And of course, sadly, they're divorced at this time. But this Mother's Day, thank your mother for all that she is to you, for what your wife has been to your children. And thank God for sharing Himself through them. Hope you have a great rest of the Sabbath day.